Now, turn please with me to the portion of Scripture that we read in the book of Hebrews that we've been looking at. And today we're looking at a few verses at the end of Hebrews chapter 5 and at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 6. It'll be from verse 11 of chapter 5 through to verse 3 of chapter 6. Well, after the dream that I told you about last week in my sermon about the Chinese man in Edinburgh turning out to not really be a Chinese man in Edinburgh at all, but to be a scammer, you're probably wondering if our group visa to allow us into China did arrive on Thursday morning, as was supposed to be the case, and the answer is no. But that's because it arrived on Wednesday instead, so it came a day early, so I was spared from Thursday and wondering, is anything going to come in the post? It came a day early, and most of it is in Chinese, so there wasn't too much that I could check, but the passport numbers were right, and the dates of birth were right, and the names were right. And so on Friday morning, Chinese time, we're due to arrive at Shanghai Airport, and the test will be as to whether those visas are the real thing or not. I think they are. And we then get a flight on to Chengdu, where Rachel is, and hopefully she'll meet us there at the airport. And it's all very exciting, and it's also very intimidating. The thought of going to a land where you not know anything at all that the local people are saying is quite a challenging thing. And we will be relying on Rachel to be our ears and to be our mouth for 10 days. And then in the last 3 days, we're going to be let loose in Beijing ourselves. And how we'll manage there, I'm not quite sure. Ignorance can be a pretty scary thing when you just don't know. That can be scary, and that can also be dangerous. And the danger of ignorance is something that's touched upon here in these verses at the end of Hebrews 5 and into chapter 6. I want to speak, first of all, in the verses at the close of chapter 5, about tuning in, and then at the start of chapter 6, I want to speak about moving on. In verse 11, the writer says that he would like to say a lot more about Jesus as being our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, but he hesitates to do so. He's wary about writing about something that is hard to explain, and he's wary of that because his readers have become what he calls dull of hearing. His readers have become those who are not what they were before. They didn't used to be dull of hearing, but they have become dull of hearing. The interest that a Christian has in the things of God doesn't always remain the same. Sometimes people can be really interested, and then they can become dull of hearing. They can become slack and sluggish in their listening to God, in their attentiveness to what God has to say to them. And the writer to the Hebrews is not sure that at present the people he's writing to are ready to receive and to retain what he has to say to them. He's not sure that they will really tune in to his teaching. He's afraid that it'll be a bit like a radio that isn't properly tuned in, and he'll be broadcasting, but they'll not be receiving. And that concern is further expressed then in verse 12, where he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And we read from 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul was saying something similar about the believers in Corinth. Newborn babies normally progress after a few months, progress from their milk onto something that is a little bit more solid, a little bit more substantial. And that is a healthy sign. That's what parents want to see in a newborn baby, progressing from the milk, taking steps towards the solid food. The time will come when that little mouth will be filled with teeth, and those little teeth will be able to operate upon the solid food. And it's good if the ability is there and the appetite is there for the solid food when the teeth are there to chew it. And the same kind of thing the writer is implying should happen in terms of spiritual feeding. If there's healthy spiritual growth within Christians, well then we will progress beyond the spiritual milk, beyond the beginner's diet, and we'll progress onwards to the more solid spiritual food. There are truths in the Bible that a new believer would not be ready to digest. The time will come when they will be ready for those things. And that's the way it should be. The time will come in the Christian life where you're ready for something more than just the starter truths, just those things that you needed to get into the kingdom of God, to be a part of Christ's church. And so it wasn't a good thing that our writer was aware of within the people he's writing to. It wasn't good that they were still like beginners in the faith. They hadn't progressed. They weren't really tuning in to the teaching in the way they needed to be. And that was something that was leaving them open to spiritual dangers. Verse 13, the writer says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." To be unskilled is something that will always hold you back. If you're unskilled as a hockey player, you're not going to get into the team unless everybody else is equally unskilled. To be unskilled is something that restricts. Advertise yourself as an unskilled dentist. See how many patients you will have. To be unskilled is not a good thing. And to be unskilled in the word of righteousness is not a good thing. I think it means to be unclear in your thinking about your standing before God. People who haven't moved on in their Christian faith from the very basic teachings, those people are often very shaky on the very basics. And for those who are still like beginners, they're often not sure if they really are Christians at all. One day they'll think they are, but then someday next week they'll not be so sure that they are at all. Often those who are still at the beginner stage, often they think too much about themselves and their own faith, and they're not thinking enough about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For a Christian, the important thing is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the all-important thing. But these Hebrew Christians were a bit shaky on that, and they were unskilled in those vital things. They they needed to get that sorted. It is good, it is vital to move on to the solid food. And that's what's commanded then in verse 14. He says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Sometimes you'll have observed that when a person has been ill, they lose their appetite. And when they don't eat, then they lose their strength. And the thing they need to do is to eat again to regain their strength. If they don't have the strength, they're not going to get any exercise. They need to get exercise, but they don't have the strength because they haven't been eating. And they're not eating because they don't feel like eating. And the same kind of thing can happen in the spiritual realm. When you get out of the way of really tuning in to what God has to say to you, when you get out of the way of listening to God's word, learning from his word, well, then you can lose your appetite for God's word. And you just survive on the bare minimum. A few little things to keep you alive, and that's about it. When we're not growing in our faith, when we're not growing in our grasp of the things of God, that's a dangerous thing. We can fail then to discern between good and evil. I think the writer is referring to good teaching and evil teaching. These Hebrew Christians, they had stalled in their faith. They had stalled in their growth. And they were in danger of exchanging the good teaching that they had previously held to, and instead the danger of embracing evil teaching that was going to take them away from the Lord Jesus Christ and back into Old Testament ceremonies and rituals and those kind of things. That was the danger. They were liable to fail to discern what was good things to believe and what were evil things to believe. So here's a warning the writer addresses to people who were not progressing in their faith, people who were not really learning, not adding to what they already knew. And I wonder, could any of us be in the same situation? Maybe for you, your intake of God's word is a matter of reading a few verses of scripture each day. And it's enough to salve your conscience. You can say, well, I've read the Bible today. But will it really do you any good when the time of testing comes? When your faith is tested, will those few little verses, where will they be? They're not likely to be in your heart if you've not really been taking in the Word of God properly. Do you have much appetite for God's truth? These people hadn't. They had become dull of hearing, didn't have much heart for God's Word, and they were being tempted to turn away from it all. So the writer challenges them about tuning in to the Word of God. And then in the second place, at the start of chapter 6, he's challenging them about moving on in the Christian faith. Moving on. Having alerted them to their spiritual sluggishness and to their stalled spiritual growth, he then urges them to do something about it. He tells them of their need to move on, to make progress. And he tells them that there's a foundation that they need to be building upon rather than laying the same foundation again. And so chapter 6 begins with a call to move on in the faith. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. not laying again the foundation. And then he says something about what the foundation is. And our writer, he is not despising the foundation. He's not saying that the foundation doesn't matter. He's not saying that those basic Christian truths are things you can forget about now. You need to think about other things instead. But he is reminding, rather, that a foundation is not an end in itself. A foundation is always something that is meant to be built upon. We're not meant to live in a foundation. If you lived in a foundation today, you'd be pretty cold. You don't live in a foundation. The house is meant to be built on the foundation. And there's a spiritual foundation upon which we have to build. Now, it's vital that the foundation is right. And so we're given here, early in chapter 6, a little checklist to ensure that our foundation is right, that we have the right foundation. And the writer is talking about the elementary principles of Christ. These are the things that are to be our spiritual foundation. And what are these things? Well, there's six different things here that are mentioned at the end of verse 1 and through to the end of verse 2. Six different things, and they're in three groups of two. First of all, there's repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Then there's the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands. And then the third group is resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. I want to think about those things that are the essential foundation of the Christian faith. The first two that go together are repentance and faith. Repentance and faith are two things that go hand in hand in the Christian faith and in the Christian gospel. In the New Testament, those who are not yet Christians are called upon to repent, and they're called upon to believe. Not one or the other, but the two things must go together. To become a Christian, you have to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To repent means to turn around completely. It means to go in the opposite direction from that which you have been going in. And that is what becoming a Christian is all about. If you want to begin to follow Christ, well then, you first of all have to stop, because you haven't been following Christ. You have to stop going your own way in life in order to follow Christ. You've been going your own way, hasn't been getting you anywhere that's good, and so you have to stop, and then you have to turn, and you have to follow Jesus Christ instead. We're told that it involves repentance from dead works. Those dead works might be things that we know full well to be wrong, but those dead works can also be things that we thought were good. There are things that we thought were good works, but God didn't think they were good works. And we thought that although we were sinners, we were doing some things wrong, we were also doing some things that were right, and God never thought that way. God never saw us as being those who had any good works. Our works were dead works, and we need to turn from our dead works. There's something to turn away from. That's how the Christian life begins. There wasn't a Christian life before, and it begins by turning from the old life. And it's a turning from something, but it's a turning to someone. And it's a turning to the Lord in faith. We are to have faith toward God. In particular, we're to have faith toward God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to commit ourselves fully to him. We're to trust him with all our heart. We'll trust him so much that we will follow him. We'll think his way will be right. I'll go his way. And so these are part of the foundation of the Christian faith, repentance and faith. The old has to be abandoned, the new has to be embraced and pursued, and Christians are people who always have to be repenting and always have to be believing. That's the first group of two that are mentioned. I want to go on then to think of the second group of two, where he mentions the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. I wonder how many times have you been told that Christianity is all about a personal relationship with Christ? Christianity is all about a personal relationship with Christ. I want to tell you that it's not. There's a word in there that makes that sentence a lie. The culprit is the word all. Christianity is not all about a personal relationship with Christ. Christianity is about more than that. It is about a personal relationship with Christ, but it's not all about a personal relationship with Christ. There's a great danger in thinking that that is what it's all about. That is a means of endorsing our fundamental selfishness. One of the huge problems of our sin is our selfishness. And those who think that Christianity is all about a personal relationship with Christ, that just reinforces your selfishness. It's about more than that. There's no selfishness in the true Christian faith. There are those who think they're Christians because they believe the right things, but they don't do the right things. The same Lord Jesus Christ who saves sinners adds those sinners to his church. Jesus incorporates those he saves into his body. We don't just belong to Christ, we belong within Christ's people. We belong within his family, we become a part of his bride. And so the second thing that's foundational to the Christian faith is that it's not just an individual thing, we become a part of Christ's church. And the writer mentions two things that belong to the realm of Christ's church, namely baptism and the laying on of hands. Now, when he writes about baptism, the word that he uses isn't the normal word for baptism. It's also baptisms is the word he uses, or washings. But the main thought is surely the baptism that is the sacrament of baptism, that is the sign of our entry into the church of Christ. That's something that we receive within the church. No one baptizes themselves. It is done for us by those whom God appoints within his church. And in the same way, no one lays hands upon himself. That is something done by the leaders of the church. The laying on of hands was something in New Testament times that was done. Sometimes it was an act of blessing. Hands were laid upon a person to convey the blessing of the Lord upon them. Sometimes it was done in the healing of the sick. James talks about, is any of you sick? Let him call for the elders. And there was the laying on of hands. There was the anointing with oil. Sometimes in the New Testament, the laying on of hands is in the ordination or commissioning of someone to a role within the church, being sent off as a missionary or whatever it might be. And sometimes in the New Testament, the laying on of hands was connected with baptism itself. And that's probably the most likely thought here. Just as repentance and faith must go together, so baptism and the laying on of hands were things that went together in the New Testament church. And being part, therefore, of the worshiping church of Christ is not one of those things that you move on to once the foundation has been laid. No, it is part of the foundation. It's a vital part of the foundation. The Christian life is to be lived out as an active part of Christ's church, or it is not the Christian life at all. We are not free to be isolated Christians. Christ puts us where he wants us, within his church. Jesus Christ loves his church. And when his Spirit is in us, we will love his church too. And that is part of the foundation. That is part of the basics. And if you haven't got that, you've not got the real thing. There's repentance and faith. There's baptism, the laying on of hands. And then in the third two that are put together are looking to the future. The Christian faith is not just for today. It's a faith that looks to the future. It's a faith forever. And Christians know what is coming. We know that Christ is going to return. And when he returns, there will be the resurrection of the dead, and there will be eternal judgment. All who have ever lived, those who have lived and died will be resurrected, and together with those who are still alive, when Christ returns, they will enter into the final judgment, which is eternal judgment. And those who in that judgment will be sent away from our Lord will be sent away forever. It is an eternal judgment. And those who will be with Christ will be with him forever. And Christians believe these things to be true. We don't have some warm, fuzzy thoughts that everybody who's ever lived will be together forever in eternity. God's word teaches us something quite different. We know that the present state of things is not going to continue, but that there is a future state of things that will continue forever and ever and ever. And when will that come about? We know that we don't know, but we know that God knows, and he has appointed the time. And these things are the foundational truths. Repentance and faith, the church, being part of the church of Christ and looking to the future, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These are the foundational truths. These are the things you have to believe. These are the things that you have to practice. And if your foundation isn't right, well, there's no point building on it. It's not other things that you need to know about and learn about. It's these things that need to be right before there can be any building done. Get the foundation right first. Foundations really matter. Now, the writer is saying, look, we need to move on from the foundations, but he also wants to say, make sure you have these foundations right. Make sure what you believe is the Christian faith, and make sure that you haven't tailored it to suit yourself. You're meant to be part of the body of Christ. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the Christian faith. And when that right beginning has been made, well, then the writer's saying, then it's time to move on. And that's what he is urging us to do, to move on. Verse 1, he says, let us go on to perfection. Verse 3, he says, and this we will do if God permits. We are the ones who need to make that choice to go on, but God has to permit it. God has to allow it. It's God who enables the progress, but we need to desire that progress, choose it. I wonder, has your progress in the faith stalled? I wonder, have you perhaps not got much beyond the foundation stage? What could you do to go on in the faith? Well, sometimes we need to change our habits. Perhaps you need to change your habit of Bible reading. Maybe the way you do it at the minute isn't getting you anywhere. Maybe you're not really taking in what's there in the Word of God. And maybe you need to change that. To change it so you really are tuning in to the Word of God. To make sure that those words in the page are words that you really are thinking about. To change the way you read the Word of God. To make sure that each day there's something that you focus on upon the Word of God. So that if you're thinking later in the day about what you've learned from God's Word, that there's something that you have there because you've been thinking about that. You've been meditating upon that. Change the way you read your Bible. Or perhaps you could read a Christian book that would be a help to you. I want to recommend a writer, and every book of his that I've read, I have found to be a blessing to me. His name is Jerry Bridges. Sounds like a German civil engineering company, Jerry Bridges, but that's his name. And I've read lots of his books, and they're not hard books to read, but he presents deep truths, important Christian truths, in a what I think is a readable way. And there's not one particular book that I would recommend above others. Any of his books that I've read, I have found them to be beneficial in reminding me of what the Word of God teaches and warming my heart. That's something I would recommend. Or perhaps you need to make that choice to put yourself in the situation where you're meeting with other Christians and where you can learn from the things that they say about God's Word. You can learn from the experiences they have had in life, a situation where you can ask questions about the things that you've read but that you don't understand, or you've heard in a sermon, but it doesn't make sense to you. Meeting with other Christians can make all the difference to helping you to go forward in the Christian faith. And you can be a blessing to other people because God has done things in your life. And things that God has helped you with can help other people and things that they'll be facing or they might face in the future. If you have stalled in your faith, if you know that you're not really getting anywhere, you need to do something. Whatever you do, do something. The writer is saying here that it is time to move on. It's time to leave the elementary principles behind and move on to other things. Beginning is good. It's so good to begin the Christian life. It's a wonderful thing to begin the Christian life. It brings a wonderful thanksgiving to others when we hear of someone who has begun the Christian life. beginning is good, but you know, you'll never reach the finish if you keep hanging around at the start. And we've got to reach the finish. And we've got to be moving along the course in order to reach the finish. If we're at a standstill, we are not going to get to the finish. Beginning is good, but there's no use hanging around at the start of the course. So let us move on. Let us get going. Let us strive to be those who are going forward in the faith. And when you're going forward in the faith, these temptations to turn away from the Christian faith will lose all their appeal, because we'll know we're on the right path and we'll not want to turn away from Jesus Christ. We'll think, well, no, it's since I started following him that life has been really life and has counted for anything. So I'm not going to stop following him. But to follow Christ, you've got to be on the move, because he is on the move. Amen.